Hello and welcome to Only Lovers Book Club. We are three Latinx besties reading romance. We take turns picking, and this month it was my turn to pick, so no surprise. I feel like I've been really into like the shifter romance angle lately, and so I picked When the Tiger Came Down the Mountain by Nevo, and it's the second novella in the Singing Hills cycle, but it is a standalone novella. So I know Chris has read all of them. I think me and Tosh have only read this one. But we're really excited to talk about it today. And so before we get started, I just want to hear what everyone's wearing, drinking, eating, backgrounds, anything you've got going on in the moment.
There is a mammoth rider in this. And I was like, what can I do? I don't have any tiger stuff. I don't have any mammoth stuff. Oh, I got a trucker hat. So this is my version of like a futuristic mammoth rider. Just like a, you know, I've just got my overalls on. I got a tank top underneath. I got my black dad hat, trucker hat on. I was going to paste this on. It says, I love tigers. But I couldn't find my tape in time, and I just wanted to sit down. So that's what I'm wearing. My background is just like very magical, mystical koi fish. It was provided by Google Hangouts. So it just is very bright and very pretty. My living room is really messy, and nobody wants to see that. So yeah. Happy to be here with everybody. Currently only having water, you know, trying to stay hydrated, not eating anything, but we'll probably have some Chipotle after this.
Okay, I can go next. I'm also drinking water because I'm a tiger and I shouldn't drink anything else. If you can see me, you already know I'm a tiger. I got an amazing like face tattoo set on the internet. It's meant for like little kids at their parties. So it's a set of like five animals. So if at some point in the future we read anything that has to do even remotely with the other animals left in my kit, I will be bringing this back out. But it works like temporary tattoos. It comes with some wipes that I have been assured will immediately take this off my face. But I will update you later tonight. And I guess we'll see if it actually comes out or not. I have a vet appointment with my dog tomorrow morning, so I hope it comes off. Otherwise, I feel like they're not going to think I'm taking his health seriously. My computer background is a tropical jungle. What about you, Tosh?
I'm dying. You're like, no, I want him to feel supported by other animals. I'm taking this very seriously. I drew a cat on my face because I don't have anything tigery or couldn't figure out what to do. So went with the old Halloween classic. I'm a cat. My background is this like tiger woman wallpaper thing that I looked up. It looks cool. This could be a cool t-shirt print. I'm drinking water. I'm also not well. But you know what? Keeping a stiff upper lip, and it's a 4-day week this week, maybe. We'll see. TBD. Hopefully we get Friday off, and then it's going to make me really, really happy. I'm lighting candles. But yeah, doing good. Staying hydrated.
Well, like I said, we're reading When the Tiger Came Down the Mountain. And if you are not familiar with it, I will read you the description. It's pretty short because this is a very short novella. It's less than 150 pages. So if you're trying to get in a tiny book to up your reading stats, this is a great one for it. The description is, the cleric chief finds himself and their companions at the mercy of a band of fierce tigers who ache with hunger. To stay alive until the mammoths can save them, Chi must unwind the intricate layered story of the tiger and her scholar lover, a woman of courage, intelligence, and beauty, and discover how truth can survive becoming history. And yeah, that's what I read. This is your typical story within a story kind of situation. And Chris, you're going to read us a little bit about the author.
Yes. This is from Nevo's website. That's nevo.com/about. Nevo is the author of the novels Siren Queen and The Chosen and the Beautiful, as well as the acclaimed novellas When the Tiger Came Down the Mountain and The Empress of Salt and Fortune. a Locus and Ignite Award finalist, and the winner of the Crawford Award and the Hugo Award. Born in Illinois, she now lives on the shores of Lake Michigan. She believes in the ritual of lipstick, the power of stories, and the right to change your mind.
Amazing. Thank you very much. And I guess other than the obvious reason, I'm just really into shifter stories that feature like non-traditional animal roles. I'm still waiting for my bear romance. I have read one, but I didn't think it was great. So I'm waiting for a great one. But in the meantime, I keep searching for some that are not just like wolves. I feel like that's just, there's a ton of werewolf books out there. I don't want the werewolf. I was trying to be very intentional about picking books in like different genres for book club this year. If you're new here, we each pick 4 books a year. And so I just wanted to try something different. And this one just checked a lot of boxes. In that it was like speculative kind of folklore-y fiction. It was also a novella. It reads kind of more literary, and featured a tiger and a lady having a queer, because the tiger is also a lady. So it's like lady romance, but one of the ladies is a tiger. And yeah, so all of those things literally scream Andrea. So now you know. Recommend me any books I might like down below. But yeah, spoiler alert, we are going to be talking, I mean, it's a very short book, so we are going to be covering the whole book. If you haven't read it yet and you want to avoid spoilers, then pause this now, go read it. You might be done in like an hour or two, and then you can come right back. Okay, so overall impressions, Chris.
Well, I love this book. No mystery. I was so happy when you picked it. First of all, commend your efforts to diversify not only your reading, but also the picks that we have in book club. I know that we do our best, but I think we do even better when we're like trying to be super intentional about it. And so it's okay. We can like pat ourselves on the back for that. And I talked about this with Tasha in the last episode when we were like discussing, oh, what we're reading next. And I love this series. I love this entire series. The books that are coming, that have come out so far. One of the things that I really enjoy is how there seems to be like a lot happening, but in like very few words, almost like some things are like left out. They're not said, but my mind just kind of completes the world. I don't know why. In some books that doesn't work. In some books, I'm like, I want more details. But the way that like Vo writes, I feel like the details are just like across the page almost. And it's just easy for me to kind of like picture what I feel is going on. And more so with these kinds of books, because it's a lot of like, well, I think that this happened this way, and I think that this happened this way. And it's a lot of like oral kind of like storytelling and record keeping, and how, you know, how those stories maybe don't maintain their integrity, or, you know, they kind of like change depending on who is telling them. I love that shit. I love that. And I love ladies and I love tigers. So what can I say? I am also on the lady tiger love train. So yeah, my overall impressions are, yeah, I'm a fan. Get more in the discussion. I'm sure stuff is going to come up. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. 5 stars.
Yeah, I agree with you, Chris, in that I picked it for the tiger romance specifically, but was very pleasantly surprised by the whole overarching themes of like who gets to tell what stories and how do those stories change depending on who's telling them and what details like survive or don't survive. I think, you know, all three of us are storytellers and all three of us are readers and all three of us live far from home. And so I think that kind of stuff is always just going to call to us, you know, it's like what pieces of your past are you carrying with you? So I agree. That was one of my favorite parts of the story too.
I really liked this. I got it as an audiobook because it was going to take too long to get the actual like ebook. So because I saw it was so short, I'm like, all right, I can like listen to this in a few days. And I really started like enjoying it when I would take my dog out for walks, especially when we were going like through the park. Because it was really nice to just like zone out and pay attention to the storytelling instead of like what was going on around me, and being able to just like enjoy the sun and like a breeze, but like have this very atmospheric story going on. Because yeah, like you guys have mentioned with regards to the world building, it drops you in really quickly and really easily. And I didn't struggle to sort of picture where things were happening, even though I don't typically listen to audiobooks as much, because I'll often struggle to like follow the thread of the story if I'm listening, just because I get really distracted. But with this book, because it's like almost like little quick interludes of a story within a story, and then they give you one POV and then the other POV, it's like really nice to just get sucked in and do the compare and contrast. And like, it is almost like the story is being read to me versus I'm listening to an audiobook. So I do recommend, if someone has the time to just get the audiobook version of this. It was really nice. Like, it was really fun. It was very like tense when it needed to be tense. I think the tiger representation of like the personalities in the audiobook were really good. And yeah, it was just, I was caught off guard by how quick it was, because I was so into the storytelling, and I almost wanted, like, I wanted it to be longer when I realized I only had like one or two chapters left. I'm like, wait, what? I also texted my mom and was like, I feel like this is a book you would like. So I think I'm going to try to pick up a physical copy and give it to her, because she's the same way. She like loves K-dramas. She loves like any kind of storytelling that's set in like different Asian representations, because she's just like obsessed. She loves the scale of the drama. Like, there's such a way to tell a story where it's like, even if it's between a family, they scale it up so big sometimes with like the weight of the power of the tigers. Like that, like there's so much going on in such a small thing that 5 stars. I love it. I'm gonna stop. But I was like sold really, really quickly. Like a couple of pages in, I'm like, I love this so much.
And I love that about book club. I know it's happened to all of us at some point, where we end up reading a book we would have not picked up if it wasn't for book club, because we either didn't know it existed or didn't know it was for us. I mean, I know Chris definitely felt it with the four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. You know, that changed your life, and you would have never known about it otherwise.
I will never be the same. I will never be the same. That's for sure.
But anyway, diving into our questions. My first question is, and I think we've touched on this a little bit already, but this is obviously a romance book club, and the novella is about a romance, but the romance is told through that story within a story device, and it's not happening in real time. You know, we're hearing about this like hundreds and hundreds of years later. So did this work for you? Like, as would you have preferred to read a novella that was just the tiger love story? Or did you like that it was told in this way, even if it was a smaller, you know, portion of the novella?
I like the story the way that it was told. I think that while I was intrigued by the particulars about like a couple of things that I feel were left out because of the type of story that it was, I don't think it would have worked unless it had been told this way. Does that make sense? Because it's kind of like a fable or like a folk tale. It's like a fabulous situation, you know? And I think that I was almost like more intrigued by the various versions of this particular romance told by, you know, different people than maybe the romance in of itself, right? Because I felt like I knew what we were going to get into. We're definitely going to see a romance occur. But whether that romance, what the flavor of it would be, it really depended on who was telling the story. I mean, I wouldn't have been opposed to reading it, but I think this really works. I think that the way that the story is structured really, really works. So as far as I'm concerned, I really appreciated it, and it definitely worked for me. I felt the romance, even if this isn't considered like a traditional type of romance that we normally read.
This is like a sneaky way of getting people to read Shift of romance.
Ooh,
without, yeah. You know, I feel like a lot of people judge, you know, if you told someone, oh, we're gonna read like a sapphic tiger shifter romance, I feel like people might be like, that's not for me. But then you like set it inside this kind of story, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, yeah, it's like, I don't know, it becomes more of like a mythology kind of thing, you know, where it's like easier to accept. They're like, of course, back in the day when you had tigers that could turn into humans, like I don't know, I just feel like it gets through to a different audience. So, you know, there may be people watching this episode who would never read a tiger romance, and got you.
This is your cup of tea. We have read another tiger shifter, which is more hardcore fantasy, more of the traditional structure. When we read Aurora's Angel, there was a tiger shifter in that one, and so that would
so
be
good.
That would be like your next level, right? Like you start here, and you're like, yeah, I want more tiger romance in my life, and I want it to be sapphic. Then go ahead and read that one, and
click,
then
click
listen
the,
to
click the thing, right? You can insert
I'll put a card.
Little...
But yeah, go ahead and read that one and then watch our hangout, because we fucking love that book.
We did. I mean, we had some valid criticisms, but out of love, because yeah, no, I agree. I really liked it in the way that it was told. Partly because I love the dynamic of the different storytellers kind of fighting over who had the correct story. But also because it almost let me experience like two different love stories. You know, like sometimes it was like very like poetic and lovely, and then sometimes it was not, depending on who was telling the story at the time. And so it's almost like I got to live the romance twice, which I really liked. My only point for making this a standalone would be that then maybe we would have more sexy scenes, which, you know, we didn't get in this book. That would be my only argument for having it be a standalone. But I really enjoyed how it was structured here.
We got some sexy scenes. They were just like off camera, you know?
Yeah, they were very off camera.
There's a lot of fading to black happening. So I actually, now that you're like, as you both are talking about it and this style of storytelling, it's funny because, and I haven't thought about this in a really long time, but when I went to, oh my God, the Grand Canyon with my family, like, you know, you always go to the gift shops, you always like buy random stuff. So my family would always end up like somehow buying like folklore books. And so when I was younger, I read a lot of like Native American folklore books, which had a lot of stories where people were shifters and like would end up being like sneaky, or you have like a Coco Pelli character who's like trying to fuck, and then like the sun and the moon turn to people and fuck, or like there's a bird who fucks.
Like, the sun and the moon were always having sex with
it's
everybody.
Always, there's always like animals, or there's shifters. And so I think there is like a, like if you fit it within the framework of like folklore, then it's a lot more like permissive, because it enters into almost like a spiritual plane of storytelling. And like when you're in the spiritual plane, everything's fair game. So I do like the framework that was used in this story, because A, you get like two stories for the price of one. B, I love stories where someone like interrupts. Like there's storytelling and someone's like, wait a minute, that's not how that happened though. And it's like, shut up, I'm telling a story. Like, do you want me to finish telling the story or not? It's like, all right, fine. Like very Princess Bride, like, ew, are they gonna kiss? Like that kind of whatever the hell it's called. I love that. I always think it's really funny. And so I love that you're getting this like mythical like folklore romance between a tiger and a woman, and then you get like a grumpy IRL tiger who's like, that's stupid, that's not how that happened, tigers wouldn't behave that way, you really think a tiger could be fooled by a human? And like, so the sassiness would come in and like give some humor to what was going on, like as you were also in the middle of this like epic love story. So I thought all of that was really funny. My one complaint is that I really thought that the tiger, who was like the main HBIC of this group was gonna be like, whoops, turns out it was me, I'm that tiger, that's why the story, that's why your version is wrong, I actually am the mythical tiger, we live for fucking ever, and that bitch broke my heart.
I had a moment where I thought that too, though. I definitely thought that that was gonna happen. I thought that's who was gonna show up. I was waiting
for the spoiler to be like, actually the like storyteller was your great great grandma and like the tiger was me and like fuck you.
But then there's also ghosts, then it's like also a ghost story because then you're also stumbling into the like ghost house and then it's like it's not ghosts, it's foxes, and it's like what's going on.
lots of trickery and mischief
and I think that lends itself to like a lot of what folklore is ends up being like. It's a great space for just like everyone's a trickster and it's being sneaky, except with this one it's like, oh, it's a romance and sneaky and
I'm glad that we all enjoyed that storytelling device, because now that's like something to keep in mind, I think, for the future. I don't know that we've read many books like this together. So it would be fun to maybe do something like this again sometime. But anyway, so my next question was, and I think we all said we love the idea of like the interrupting and the two different histories. And so I really like specifically that they were talking about a romance from opposite perspectives, because I feel like that happens in real life all the time, right? Like when people break up and then it's like one person's friends will like talk about the romance in a completely different way from like the other person's friends. And that's what this reminded me of like the two groups of friends with like completely opposing views on the relationship. And so I guess my question was, were you like team tiger or team human? Not in the sense of like, obviously we're all team tiger, but in the sense of which version of the love story did you enjoy the most? I mean, you can say both if you can't, you know, but I was just curious.
I think where I enjoyed it the most was when they come to an agreement on both sides. I think that's when it's at its best, where they are kind of like bitching about little details and then they're like, oh yes, I do remember it being that way. And so suddenly like we go from like two people being on two completely separate pages to being on the same page about this. When I first started reading this, I did not think that the romance was, I did not think it was going to be a romance, or maybe better said, I did not know how I was going to feel about the romance, because there's such like a power dynamic difference in the two parties, not just the between Chi and the tigresses that are just kind of like hanging out and keeping them hostage to eat them later on. Yeah, which also is, since we're also talking about stories within stories, is, you know, it is a feature of like, right, the 1001 Nights, right, where Shahrazad, you know, tells a story to the Sultan, and then, you know, she gets to live another day because she doesn't finish the story, and so she's got to keep it going. So I also thought that was a cool like little callback, and or maybe not even a callback, it's just kind of like a commonality amongst these kinds of stories. So I wasn't sure if it was going to be like a romance for me, because I was like, wait a minute, well, you know, obviously she's going to go along with it, because if she doesn't, then this tiger's going to eat her. And when I say her, I mean the scholar Dew in the story, right? She is a non-binary cleric, right? I was like getting on my character straight. There's a lot. Yeah, I don't know. I was kind of thinking about that as we were discussing it. And I guess at points the story kind of like the romantic parts of it just kind of like they bounce back and forth. So it's actually really hard for me to answer, or maybe just hard for me to pick one. So I think both of them kind of like have really good moments. I think the best moments are when they are on the same page. I think as with any kind of story and any kind of romance, when you're on the same page, just kind of works best. That's the answer I'm going to go with for now.
And I do feel like, obviously, despite what what you both were hoping about the tiger's identity. You know, none of these storytellers were present during this romance. And so at the end of the day, everyone's just speculating based on what they've heard, which makes it even better because I think my favorite parts were also not just when they agreed, but when they like surprised each other. Like that one tiger who was like, wait, but I really like the poem. And so even though the one tiger was like, that's not how it happened, she was like, okay, but I like that part. And so I like that, you know, they could surprise each other by hearing things for the first time and thinking, okay, maybe that could have happened, or actually I kind of like the story with that part, you know, inserted. Those were my favorite parts.
I just realized something. Okay. I know that you listened, you read this, but you did not listen to it.
No, I did not listen to it.
However, I will say that I definitely enjoyed the parts when the tigers were telling the story, because the narrator would drop their voice a little bit and the sounds of the tigers' voices were very, very alluring. Like that's the voice that the narrator would put on. And so even though both sides, I maybe have realized that I did enjoy when the tigers were saying something, because that voice was doing things to me.
I believe you.
Was doing the things to me. But yeah, that's all I want to say. I don't know if you can carry on.
I definitely never go for the audiobook first. Like that's never my instinct. But y'all are making me want to listen to this on audio.
It was good. It was good because it changes. Like, I don't know that I necessarily liked the tiger version of the romance more, but the character of the romance changes when it's being told by the tiger versus when it's being told by Scholar Dew. It's like, as they made their way down the mountain, she wondered if the tiger would appear. And then when it's the tiger, it's like, for 40 days and 40 nights, she traveled down the mountain with the scent in her nose, knowing that she would not rest until her bride was back. Like there was a drama that was woven into the tiger version of it because of the nature of the creature that is telling the story. Versus the scholar's version is a lot more of like, I'm going to use my wit to get through this and use my brain and figure it out. And the tiger is like, I am a benevolent creature. Therefore, I will allow you to live because I find you interesting. So I think I vote Team Tiger just because, like Chris said, there was so much more like sasong when the tiger was talking that it gave it more of like an epic tone.
Yeah, and it felt really supernatural too. Very supernatural. Yeah. Very, very much like, I mean, it's there's a lot of fantasy in that when the tiger is telling the story, because it's like a non-human, almost like, even though they're a shifter, they're like a non-human entity. It's kind of like a different, you have almost like a different perspective. All of the senses come very much alive, and there's a lot of emphasis on like smells and textures and things like that, and walking through the jungle. And it's just very, it's very fantastical and very romantic in the sense of, not romantic as in romance, but romantic as in like the idealized jungle setting and the idealized like interaction that you could possibly have with a wild creature.
I also think the tiger version, when it's told, at least like I said, in the narration version of it, has more like implied sex. I think when the tiger's telling the story, there's a lot more of like disrobing and experiencing each other's bodies and the feel of the skin, versus with the scholar telling it, it's very like, oh, they like went to bed.
You know what else I loved about the tiger one that I just remembered is all these like dating rituals we end up learning about, you know, when the cleric is telling, like, she's just saying something and the tigers are like, well, duh, she thought they were married. Like she did this or she did that. Or like, I love those bits too. Because I think it just shows you, you know, how like humans see this story in like such a different light precisely because they don't know about those rituals, you know? So you're telling the story of like two beings, but you have no idea what the other being's like culture is. I mean, I don't know if that's what Nevo was trying to say, but it just added something else to it too, to then have them be able to clarify, like, no, you just don't understand this story because you don't understand us as like a species or a group of beings. So I like that too. But my next question is, moving a little bit away from the romance for a second, there were a lot of other things going on in this novella, some of which we've mentioned before. So what was your favorite either like world building piece of this, or who was your favorite character that we haven't mentioned so far, or that we have, but just like what was your favorite part of this other than kind of the main like romance section? Like, I know for me it was definitely the mammoths, just the fact that they existed I thought was so cool. And I wanted to know more about them and what the mammoth riders did and all of these things. I was very into it. But also, it sounded really hard to ride them. Like, they were, like, I mean, I don't know if I understood this correctly, okay? But the way it sounded to me was, like they were just, like, hooked on with, like, one leg. And they were just, like, hanging on. Like, I would have already fallen off.
For me, the communication between the mammoth and the mammoth rider was really cool. I really liked that particular part of it. And then, honestly, I really wanted to know more about the tigers, like the present day tigers, right? I wanted to know, you know, like what their society is like, what are they doing, and et cetera, et cetera. I really wanted to know a little bit more about them. Not that I wanted more of that on the page, but also I really like this like particular trio. I just thought that they were so fun. I like that some of them like shifted half in, half out. I like that they had kind of like different personalities, but they deferred to the leader, the queen at that particular point. And having read the other books, I kind of like really enjoy the idea of someone coming around and collecting stories. Like, that's always really fun too. Using the stories that they already knew, and I'm talking about Chi, to kind of like supplement and help them with this particular challenge that they face. You know, it's not just this story that they're kind of relying on. They're relying on a lot of other stories that they either learned back at Singing Hills or just that they've picked up along the way. I'm like, oh, I thought, you know, this reminds me of this. And the tigers are like, yeah, well, that's actually, it comes from here. And, you know, that cultural exchange, you know, even though they are kind of like in the same region, they are from different cultures, as in like the human world and the tiger shifter world. And so, you know, there's a bridge that needs to be crossed. So that everything was really cool. I liked that aspect of it. And even though they're from the same place, telling the same stories, there's lots of variation and a lot of like nuances that maybe Cleric Chi was not really picking up on originally when they first heard the story. So yeah, that's fine.
And I think like it made me wonder too, like what the relationship between the present day tigers and just like humans is, because they seem so shook that a human would know this story, right? And they were like, fine, let me hear how you tell it. And so it doesn't seem like they have those kinds of cultural exchanges very often. So yeah, I would also read another novella about the tiger.
Straight from the tiger's mouth, you know? When do you get the story straight from the tiger's mouth?
I was trying to decide while you guys were talking, because there's just like a lot of stuff in here that's fun. But I really liked when it went into like creepy territory and it goes into the house where it's like, is it ghosts and dead people? Is it foxes? Is it like, it felt very like, as we just read Howl's Moving Castle, and it's like the turnip head prince and like the pumpkin, like bouncing scarecrow type thing, and things that are made of parts and dead things coming to life. And trying to lure the woman into like being an unwilling or unaware bride. Like I always love when it can delve into like a bit of a ghost story, because I love that. And yeah, I think that was like my favorite little add-on to like the world building, because not only are we like being set up to live in a world where you have these shifters and there's these dynasties and you have these families that have to learn and become scholars, but there's also like ghosts, but there's different kinds. You have the ones that you experience if you're like telling the story from a human side, which is a lot more like eerie and like just ooh. And then there's the tiger version of it, which is like, oh no, it's just like tricky critters that are trying to like get one over on a human. And so it's like still creepy, but in a different way. And both of them are creepy scenarios to be caught up in. But I think it talks more about like the interpretation of what is eerie. So like to people, it would be something ghost related because they don't know and they don't understand it. But to a tiger, it's like other creatures, because
an inferior creature, an inferior creature getting the better of them. Yeah.
Like an inferior creature, or also like just another creature, because other animals talk and they exist and they have their own role within their social structure, and like people don't know that, so people are, it's like, oh, ghosts, right? So I just thought that was like a really fun thing to bring into, because it added so much more, like even more layers to this like fairly quick story of like there's tigers and there's scholars and there's this, but there's also ghosts and or little like wily fox people, like creatures.
Mm-hmm. It felt like a side quest. I felt like a scary side quest.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, exactly. It also led to, right, like the most romantic, like,
sure did.
Line of the.
Sure did. Yeah, it was very like Over the Garden Wall tone. It hit that tone for like that section, which I didn't expect. Like I was not prepared to experience that at all. So when we get through that chapter, I was like, ooh, what's happening?
Bueno, I only have one question left. And it's the most important question. We haven't talked too much about the ending, but you know, Dew has to make a choice, well, at least in one of the versions of the story, and so my question is, would you, like you Tosh and you Chris, if you were Dew, would you have abandoned an assured career, an assured scholarly career, you know, in the city center for tiger love? And this is a two-parter. How confident are you that this tiger love would last? Because we also don't really know the answer to that question.
Whomst amongst us would not choose to love a tiger shifter?
I guess I was looking at it more as like, in most romances, for example, I feel like if I asked you, would you leave your career for a romantic partner? Like, all of you would say no. So is it just because it's a tiger?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's fair.
Sorry. Huh? I'm not running away with the tiger.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I just met the tiger. The tiger, it was sexy, I guess. Like, and we had a nice time. But what is my life going to be? I'm just following the tiger through the mountains. Yes. I can't go too far, because if I go too far, she can't have dinner because she has to eat from my hand. Like, this was a great summer. I'll never forget you. I have things to do.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't want to go back to a normal life. I would be okay with going with a tiger. And I think mainly because it would just feel like more magic. Like for me, like what do I have waiting for me? I think
you would pick a magical life, however that manifests.
Yeah, however that magic would manifest, it's fine. I do think that, I mean, I get what, I feel like because the story itself, right, the one that we read is short, it's like a tiny novella, and the story is told to us in bits and pieces. I feel like maybe in that sense, it feels like it was very short. But for me, the fact that it is kind of like a long-lasting story that's told like hundreds of years down the line, maybe Again, I can only speculate. It means that it kind of like was a bigger deal than maybe anybody could capture in a single sitting. Do you know? Like, what is a life told by the campfire? You know what I mean? Like, what? How can that possibly capture like what these two individuals may have felt? There was parts in the story where I was just like, wait, so they're just married now? And you know, and I think that in those moments, I was like, well, I mean, it's like a fairy tale. So maybe it's not, maybe time isn't working how I think it's working. Or maybe it doesn't matter how I think time is working because whatever they're feeling doesn't really matter, but doesn't really come down to how I'm trying to interpret it. But I mean, all this to say, all that to say that I would definitely go with the tiger. In my mind, the adventure with the tiger outweighs all of the mundane things that I would have to do because I don't want to do any of those things now. I would absolutely feed my tiger wife over having to come and do my taxes or some shit like that. You know what I mean? Like, pay my fucking bills. Have to work at a job that I don't want. If I'm living with the tiger, it's because I want to be there. And, you know, it's because I there was a chance she could have walked away and she didn't. And I get that because you do what you want to do, even if it's just a different kind of labor. It's the labor of love versus the shit that you have to do to make it through society. So I would pick the tiger. That's me. And I don't judge or begrudge anybody. Obviously, we have our different. And I'm sorry if I assume that we would all choose the tiger life, but I hope that explains why I would, at least.
I respect it. I just don't know enough about this tiger to be like, yeah, I would pick this tiger. I think I would need to have more context as to like how this tiger is IRL and not just these snippets of like, oh, you spared me. So like, I guess I'm indebted to you forever. If I had more context as to what life with tiger means, then like I could be swayed. But if life with tiger is just like, well, we're gonna like kind of hang out in the mountain and I don't talk to people because I attack them, so you don't get to talk to people anymore, and this is what our life is. I don't know. I feel like I'd get bored. Like, if there's a middle ground where I can be tiger wife but also still be like a traveling storyteller, and I go around like correcting myths that were incorrectly told by people because I'm like fixing it to follow the tiger history, that sounds like fun to me. That is like a nice, like, I'm a housewife but I still have a job, like I still do things with my time. I'm not answering this question. I don't have enough context to make this.
I would have picked the tiger and we would have never got into the city to begin with because I would have picked the tiger from the start, and there would have never been a betrayal. There would have never been like a third act breakup because I would have been clear that I just was not taking this test anymore and we're just going to go off and be married now. It's okay. I don't need a test, you know?
I want accolades, but also like, how much did I study? Did I study a lot? Did I feel
your entire life?
Did I feel confident that I would pass the test? I don't want to waste all that. I'll go, I'll take the test, I'll pass it. And then, you know, hey, can I just like have a part-time job? Like, I'll still feed you. But like, I need to do something for me.
I interpreted that as just, you know, like we kind of like do things because we're like, think we have to. And then when we're presented with a different option, a different way, then it's like, yeah, I did all of that, but para qué? Like, this fulfills me more. Like, for me, the tiger in this scenario, in what we're talking about right now, which I don't think like I'm right and anybody else is wrong or whatever, just how it kind of came across to me is just like, yeah, this feels like a really strange and tenuous way to like live your life. Like, don't get me wrong, like you know, you're asking Chris, who believes in fantasy and magic or whatever, right? But, you know, we have responsibilities that we have to attend to. But, you know, if I dare to dream of a life that isn't the one that I have to live now, even if it just looks so drastically different than what I might be comfortable with or I'm accustomed to, then I would go for it. Yeah. I find it interesting to think about, like, what their life would be like. Like, what actually... is that look, what does that look like to you? What do you think would keep Scholar Dew there? as opposed to there with her tiger wife, as opposed to being like a scholar, similar to Cleric Chi in the Singing Hills. What could possibly retain her there, retain her interest, aside from the sexy tiger sex that they're having, you know?
Well, say maybe she reconnects with nature, you know, and she discovers that there's so much of the world that she hasn't seen. You know, she spent her whole life in this one town, you know, like, and now it's like the world is her oyster. Who's gonna try to kill her when she's walking next to a tiger? Nobody. So she can just go anywhere she wants. She has her own personal bodyguard.
Tasha, you were saying you need more context. You're like, listen, I cannot go forward without more information.
Yeah, I just need to know what the day-to-day is going to look like. Like, are we just always walking? Are we always traveling? Do you have a house? What does your house look like in the woods? Is it a cave? Are there blankets? Like, I just need more information before I can make, like, an informed decision. Yeah.
And I think that the blank spaces in the story, maybe because there's a lot of like leeway, you can picture whatever that ideal is for you, like you as a reader, like you can decide what the ideal tiger wife life is like.
My ideal tiger wife life is the tiger never goes into the city, but I go into the city every now and then, and I will like fix the folk, like storytelling. I'll go and I'll tell tiger stories and go buy supplies, and then like.
Did you all ever watch when you were younger, like Swiss Family Robinson, and how they had that like house in the trees, and they had like all these little like very like homebrew, like they made their own little washing machine and like a thing to purify water and like to cook. That's what I'm imagining, is like a tiger tree house, like abode that has like all these like rustic comforts.
But it's still comfort. Like you can still find comfort. I think I just would like to still be doing something. Like even if I won the lottery somehow, I feel like I would get bored of not doing anything after a while. And so then it's like, okay, how can I do something that is like scratches my itch? I as a scholar, I as someone who has studied all these myths, like what can I do that still fulfills that thing that I enjoy doing, but now it's like, oh, I don't have to do it. I'm doing it because I like want to do it. So that the version of like my tiger wife then is like, okay, honey, have a good time at the village. Don't forget to let her know, like tigers always watching. And then it's like, okay, baby, I'll be back later. And then I go and I tell my stories, but I don't have to do work for money because like I live with a tiger.
But I was also thinking about, right? So let's say that Scholar Du hadn't chosen the tiger wife life, then who is to say, like, I'm not saying that the scholars were like completely cloistered, but who's to say that that life would have been as permissive as we're imagining, right? Because it sounds like almost like a religious order, like the test that you have to take in order to do it. You know, maybe like the way that I'm imagining it is like maybe it's sort of like a Jedi temple, and certain places or certain organizations won't let you have those extra relationships. And so either way, I feel like it was going to take away from something, right? When you like latch yourself onto a passion, a responsibility, you are inextricably tied to whatever that role requires of you, whether that it's a tiger wife or a cloistered scholar. You know, you have to make concessions in your life in order, I guess, to follow your passion. So if she had ended up being the scholar, maybe she wouldn't have gone into the town as much as she wanted either way. So I was just thinking about, you know, the story that we kind of like get from one side versus the other. In that story, she does become a scholar and, you know, whatever. And what might have her life been like then? I'm just thinking this book was like 200 pages. It's tiny, but I'm like, whoa, but what if, you know, like, you know, that's just what I was thinking about.
Now you just pushed me into the headspace. I like all the concessions we make to live the life we have.
Quits her job, moves away.
We support.
Release your job. Release your debt.
Mira, hoy. So, My partner is currently job searching, and sometimes I go off on these tangents. And today I found these jobs in the northernmost tip of Alaska. It's like past the Arctic Circle. And I learned a lot about that area, enough to realize that I don't want to live there, because winter is like snow starts falling in October, and at that point it's like below zero for the next like 7 months. And once it hits December, the sun doesn't rise for 70 days. Anyway, this is like very up there. They can't pave the roads because they're permanently frosted. And now I know a lot about this specific area of Alaska. But my point is, mira, you never know where life will take you, what concessions you'll have to make, what, you know, adventures await you. And I really enjoyed reading this book, and I enjoyed imagining all these alternate endings with you all. So on that note, I don't have any other questions. Does anybody have any final thoughts? Feel like you got all of your tiger musings out?
I definitely did, and I ended up with some that I hadn't even thought about, especially with this last question. But I'm always happy when not only that we like a book, right, and then we get to discuss it, but then our discussion takes us to like a place that's even beyond where we thought the answers to those questions were going to be. Because until we started talking about Tiger Wife Life, I never imagined, right? First of all, I never imagined someone not wanting that. So that's a good like check for me, not to make assumptions. But then also thinking about, yeah, bigger picture things about like life, things that we have to do, and things that we want, and like how those two kind of things intersect. But then also kind of like thinking about how the story, where the story would have gone one way or the other. So I think that's a great book. I feel like our discussion got heavy, but the book is not that heavy. It's doing a lot of stuff, but it never feels like a really heavy-handed sort of story.
This is like that English class, you know, where we're like diving, and Nevo is just like, man, I just want to tell a story about
Nevo's it. Like, bitch, it's not that deep, okay? Calm down.
Yeah,
I think it's a great book, a fast read and a fast listen, great slump buster. And if you like this, then check out The Empress of Salt and Fortune. It's very good, also sapphic, very queer, very cool.
Bueno, pues, before we say goodbye, what else is everyone reading? I am reading A Bit of Earth. I don't know if you can see the cover there. It's on my Kobo. And this is a debut author. And it's basically a little garden. No. Do you know what I'm talking about? The story with the princess and the secret garden. Okay, que me fue en blanco. So A Bit of Earth is a retelling of The Secret Garden. The main character is Pakistani, and, you know, it does away with some of the ableism and things of the original, and just has some really cool representation, and it's like a really cool modern spin on it, while kind of retaining that nostalgia of the garden that I think a lot of people grew up with. I wasn't like super attached to the story when I was younger, but I definitely read it and I remember watching the movie. So I'm only like 5% in at the moment, so I literally just started it, but I'm very excited to see where it goes.
I'm rereading Catching Fire from the Hunger Games trilogy.
I don't know what it is. I don't know if there's a resurgence on TikTok. I don't have TikTok, but my Twitter is like pretty much rereading and rehashing a lot of Hunger Games stuff to the point I see it so often now. I like desperately want to reread these books.
It's because there's a new Hunger Games movie.
Because the movie's coming out.
Oh, right. Okay. Listen, I'm out of touch.
So everybody's like, let me reread everything before the new movie.
Yeah. It's never been my fandom. But yeah, there's a lot of like analysis happening on Twitter. And I'm just like, yo, like, do I need to read these books again? So
Girl, I've been on Hunger Games TikTok. I'm like in PETA talk. Everyone's like,
oh my god, right? Gale. Literally the tweet that I saw, right? Like, oh, Katniss, like when Gale wanted to take Katniss somewhere, and he was like, oh, but like, does PETA have to come? Absolutely not. Versus like, if it had been turned around, PETA's like, oh yeah, we'll bring Gale, your best friend. And it's like, clearly she made the superior choice. And yeah, whether she was satisfied or dissatisfied or what it means that she has kids. Like, I gotta read these books again.
All the analysis, and people will do the like cap cuts, like edit with music, and it'll be like, PETA dropping baby bombs, Gale dropping bombs on babies. It's like, oh shit.
I definitely don't remember. I remember reading the books. I don't think I ever watched all of the movies. I feel like I only saw like the first one, and I definitely don't remember enough, and also will not be like watching, like, it's just not my thing. I won't be watching the new movie. But I agree with you, Chris, because I've seen it on Bookstagram. Like, I've seen multiple people rereading them on Bookstagram too, and it took me a while. I was like, pero que está pasando, like, these books are old.
Es por eso. I made Ivan rewatch the movies because he had never seen the movies. So then it started infiltrating my TikTok a bit. And so then I was like, let's watch the movies. So then we watched all the movies in a week. And then I was like, I don't remember the book, but I know there was a lot of like political commentary. I'm just going to reread it. And so I've just been borrowing them from my library. So I got the second one. I'm reading that one. It's also just like easy. I can read it in between work calls and feel like I'm reading something and feel good because I'm reading something and not like shitty because it's taking me a while to get through stuff. But I'm reading that. My mom actually just re-gifted this book back to me because she finished reading it and really liked it, which like is what I mean when I say like my mom is into this kind of story, because this is called The Village of Eight Graves by Seishi Yokomiso. And it says, a classic Japanese murder mystery from the author of the Honjin Murders. So it's like a Japanese murder mystery that she loved. She like really, really, really liked it. And I bought it on a whim. I knew nothing about it. I didn't know anything about the writer or the plot or anything. I just know my mom likes mysteries. And she really, really loves like Japanese storytelling. So she's like, you should read it. I loved it. So now this is on my TBR too.
Nice. Wanda always for the AAPI lit, baby.
Always.
Since day one.
She's like, She's doing her Korean dramas. She's doing her Chinese dramas. She's doing her Japanese dramas. Every now and then she'll go back to her Turkish stuff. But
I got my mom for Mother's Day. I got her The Very Secret Society of Irregular Witches. So she's reading it right now and she's loving it.
So cute.
I didn't randomly pick it up. But because I received it from Random House, I got a copy of Lone Women by Victor Laval. It's a story of, I just started it today, but I was doing chores, so I put the audiobook on. I got it from Libro FM because I have the physical book, but I just hadn't been able to just like stick with it. So I got the audiobook because I listened to the sample and I thought it was really good. It is about, you know, I think the author kind of like discovered that, you know, when we were like expanding into the West, they were kind of like giving up parcels of land, and they were like, hey, if you can develop this land within like X amount of years, then you get to own it. And they kind of like kept the language vague, like people can come. And so a lot of women would just go and homestead, right? So it's like a homestead horror book. And when you first get into the story, and you hear this from the description of the book, I just double checked to make sure. So the main character, Adelaide, has like a big like steamer trunk that she carries around, or she has to have with her. And you get the impression that there's something, she's keeping something there, either like as a protector or as a jailer or something. But basically, yeah, something happens to her family. I don't know what it is yet. She moves out into like the rural fucking boonies, whatever the fuck, like her closest neighbor is like 9 miles away. And, she has to kind of like develop this land, but she's got this like steamer trunk. And so it's very exciting, very interesting. The audiobook is really good. Very audiobook loving episode today. I love that for us. Like, audiobooks are reading. Don't forget that, everybody. And yeah, it's really good. I'm really into it. It's, I kind of like definitely did the mood reader thing. I picked it up and was like, fuck it. Everything else I was reading, taking a backseat right now. So I'm probably going to finish this week. So yeah, that's what I'm reading right now.
Bueno, pues that is, that's all we have for this episode of Only Lovers Book Club. Thank you for making it to the end with us and for spending some time with us during our discussion. We will see you next month when we read Reggie and Delilah. But until then, listen to the audiobook of this book.
Rawr, rawr, rawr. I like that we didn't even plan that. We just started making tiger noises.
I love it. I love it.
Thank you for hanging out with us. You can support Only Lovers Book Club by dropping some change in our tip jar and buying some books with our bookshop link. You can find us on Instagram at Only Lovers Book Club, and from there, find our individual accounts and projects. Feel free to favorite or rate us if that's an option for you, but always make sure to like and subscribe and turn on your notifications so you never miss an episode.